Welcome to this week's episode of WDKN's Jesus Roundtable, where ministers gather around the Word and spend time discussing the most important person in all of human history. Pull up a chair, grab your Bible, and join us at the table.
And welcome to the Interfaith Roundtable. I am your host, Richie G, and we have two men with us today.
Hey, I'm Matthew Hyatt from Burns.
I'm Richard Green with Eastern European Mission.
And Richard, you have an event coming up. And
yes,
why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
On March 7th at LP Field, Eastern European Mission will be holding an event. We are an organization that actually gives out free Bibles to all those that ask. A big part of what we do is actually place Bibles in public schools in different countries there in Eastern Europe. And so on March 7th at 5:30 p.m., we'll have food and drinks and of course all approved drinks, iced tea,
non-fermented grape juice.
Clarify that for some folks, but we'll feed you and we'd actually tell the story of what God is doing in Eastern Europe, and specifically we're going to be premiering a new documentary film on what God is doing in Romania. The exciting things happening there is Bibles are being placed in public schools in Romania and other things that are happening. I used to tell people that God is opening a lot of doors in Eastern Europe, great opportunities. I stopped using that phrase because now God is opening floodgates. It's just amazing. Last year, we delivered nearly 500,000 Bibles and study materials to the people of Eastern Europe who can't afford one unless they're given it.
That's amazing.
So we're excited to share that. If anyone is interested in coming, you're welcome. But you do need to RSVP at eem.org/events and look for the event that is in Nashville at LP Field and just pre-register and say you're coming. We'd love to have anyone come. You're very welcome. Like I say, we'll feed you and then show you an exciting documentary film. It's a very short time, in at 5:30, will be done by 7:30, but I think people will greatly enjoy seeing what God is doing today. People are always asking, you know, does God still perform miracles? Well, I tell you, what's going on in Eastern Europe would lead you to believe that God still performs miracles.
It's exciting there and many places around the world. The Lord's moving.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. It seems like, you know, there's only two places in the globe where Christianity's facing setbacks, and that's in America and Western Europe. And while that saddens me, it does bring me a lot of joy to see what's going on in Eastern Europe.
Oh, it does. I mean, Ukraine is a country that we have been blessed to put Bibles in 9 of their 24 states, as they refer to them as regions. In all the public schools in 9 regions. The last 15 regions have been made open to us. That's why I mentioned floodgates. God took a bad situation in that there's a conflict that's been going on now. If you've been watching the news over the last year between Russia and Ukraine, and God took that, and I know we don't have time for the long story, but it's an amazing story. So come March 7th, maybe you'll get to hear the story. But I can tell you that from that event of the conflict, we were ultimately asked, would we be willing to provide Bibles for the wounded soldiers? And we did that. From that, the federal government invited us in and wanted to hear more about who we were and what we do. And out of that, the Minister of Education of the whole country basically expressed to us, you know, we consider you our partners. We will open the whole country to you. So it's exciting to know because, you know, we in the past, it was quite a push we had to really develop the relationships to be able to get in the 9 states we were in. And sometimes we get pushback. And as the Minister of Education expressed to us, that pushback came out of the fact that they still have people there with the old Soviet mentality, don't trust Americans. Well, he said, you know, I apologize for that, but I can fix it.
So, unfortunately, 3 people are executed.
but what he said was, now I'm getting into too long of the story, but what he said to us was, is I'll send out a letter with my seal on it to every minister of education of every region, every superintendent of schools, and every principal of every school, telling them that you guys are our partner. And let's assist you in your ministry in any way possible to help place Bibles in these public schools. Here's the thing that's wonderful. They've recognized by having Bibles in their public schools that their kids are better students and they're better citizens.
Yeah.
They're getting better grades in school.
Mm.
And they've told us that they believe that when the Bible's are in every public school, that Ukraine will become a Christian nation in one generation.
Mm.
And it's exciting to see. Sadly, as we look at our situation in America and we see us moving away in so many areas of our society from God, Eastern Europe is moving to God.
Mm.
And I believe that part of the reason is they were denied God for 70 years under communism.
Mm.
They know what it is to be without God. So now they're saying, we want him.
Mm.
Please help us receive the word of God.
Mm.
And so that's what's so exciting to be a part of Eastern European mission.
Now,
so
while you're over there, could you like try to slow down the figure skating and gymnastics teams? Because they're giving us some trouble in the Olympics, you know?
Yeah, need a little help there.
Well,
could you give them some Bibles that say it's wrong to do those things?
As they grow closer to God, they won't have time for those.
Okay, good. Because, you know, we didn't do so hot in that in the Olympics this last quarter.
And wasn't Ukraine, wasn't that area back in the early centuries strongly Christian?
Yeah.
I forget which apostle. Was it Andrew or Thomas familiar. Or I don't know,
yeah.
But that's one of the centers of Russia's, you know,
the Russian Orthodox Church.
That's
Christians. Cyril invented the Cyrillic alphabet that they use.
Right, so that's a very important area for them, and even in Russia, I don't know the motives, but even in Russia, Christianity is welcomed.
Yeah,
unlike here.
Oh yes,
in many ways.
In fact, we saw a huge increase in requests for Bibles in Russia last year, in spite of the conflict.
Wow.
But to give you an idea how hungry they are in Russia, and like I say, that the increase has been amazing. But some time back, we ran after the wall fell in '89, we wanted to know, because we've been in existence since 1961. I might should point that out. We've been around a while. Smuggling is how we started out. But once that wall came down, we wanted to know just how hungry are these people really for God's word. We ran one full-page ad in a Russian newspaper for one day and received 175,000 requests for Bibles from that one ad on one day.
Mm.
So they are hungry for God's word.
Mm, that's awesome.
Man,
should mention, if anyone's a little challenged like I am with websites and so forth, another way that you can contact us in RSVP is just email me. And that email is rrihn@eem.org. Send me an email. Tell me you want to come. We'd love to have you. But please RSVP if you're interested soon, because there is limited seating. And I would hate for somebody that would like to come miss that chance.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
All right. And as we get back into our lesson here, last week we spoke about and looked into the Gospel of John. And this is connected to John as well. And we're going to get into the early ministry of Jesus. The upcoming lessons are about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, but this one is about before the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
The phrase is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I know the guy who wrote it, but before the beginning, Christians generally know this, but maybe you're not real familiar with it or you haven't thought about it. Jesus existed before Bethlehem. And that's really significant. This is where we run into, he is human and he is God, and how do those two things fit together?
Mm.
Some of this is a mystery that we just don't fully grasp. I have a hard time putting it together. But there's a few passages that I think are kind of helpful background passages that if you know, it will help you appreciate this unique, wonderful Jesus a little bit better. So I was thinking today we could just kind of work through a handful of those passages. And you know, if you're in the car listening to us, don't turn with us. I don't want to kill you. I know Dixon Police has been doing their seatbelt selfies. They want you to take a picture of you with your seatbelt on. I'm planning on taking one with me and my seatbelt while I'm driving about 90, see what they say, you know. If you're somewhere where you can turn, we're going to look at several of these passages. And the first one is John chapter 1. And after John 1, I don't know that we'll go there, but if you're familiar with your Bible, I want you to think about Genesis 1. Because Genesis 1 and John 1 are really similar. In fact, I kind of wish the New Testament started with John instead of Matthew, so it would make that distinction a little bit clearer. So John 1, 1 to 4.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In life was life, and the life was the light of men.
I go ahead and read verse 5 too.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
You get the idea that John starts out a little bit differently than the other Gospels. Mm. You know, Mark goes, the Gospel of Jesus, here you go. And Matthew and Luke start telling you about who begat who, and where they are, and why they're there, and the angels. And John, I heard one person called John the hippie gospel, because it's like, in the beginning was the Word, man. You know? And what is the Word?
What exactly? Who is it?
Yeah, who is it? What is it?
Well, Jesus is the Word.
Absolutely. Did you notice in your Bible, Word is capitalized? Mm. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. The Word was with God. Now, that last phrase is really important. The Word was God. Mm. Incidentally, some people capitalize on that "was" and say the Word no longer is God. But right. I think John, the whole Gospel of John proves otherwise.
Exactly.
The Word had a role in creation. Did you see what that was?
Hmm.
Verse 3. What did the Word have to do with the creation?
Everything was made through him. Yeah. Everything.
Everything. I mean, without him, nothing was made.
Right.
By the way, in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, God says things, or in verse 26, he says, let us make man in our image. Mm. He uses plural words. Now, I'm going to assume that God's good at grammar.
Mm.
Seems like a safe assumption. So why in the world does he use these plurals? Especially since the statement of faith, the Shema Israel, Deuteronomy 6, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. What in the world is he saying? Let us make man in our image, and the Word was with God, and the Word created with God.
Right.
Is there a frog in your pocket? What are we talking about?
Mm.
And this gives us some glimpse of Jesus existing before we existed.
Right.
There's a story, I don't know if it's true, of a theology student who asked Augustine, what was God doing before the beginning of time?
Hmm.
Augustine allegedly replied, he was creating hell for people who ask questions like that. We just don't know a lot of these things. Yeah, but the text testifies he was before.
Absolutely. Yeah, when we get into that stuff, our mind, that's the hippie stuff you're talking about, because you can't comprehend eternity.
No.
You know, so when we start getting into that, it's like, man, you know, it is the hippie gospel if you take it in that direction. It's a good point. It makes it clear that, you know, what we can know, Jesus was before, created all things and was before all things.
Yeah.
He's not part of that creation.
Right.
And that's so important.
And why does Scripture choose that word, to describe him? Have you thought about that any? What is a word?
Hmm.
I'm asking such a simple, obvious question. It's almost hard to answer. What's a word?
Yeah.
You know.
It's something that explains something.
Yeah.
Further explains it.
Communicates. The Greek word for word is logos.
Which has deeper meaning.
Do you hear any words that you recognize in logos, L-O-G-O-S?
Huh.
If you type logos into Google, you know what you come up with? Logos.
Right.
What's a logo?
It's an emblem.
It's a picture that represents something.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, so much so. Have you seen the logo game? It's a little app you can get on your cell phone. There's even a board game you can play. I actually brought this to class one time. And I started putting pictures up on the screen of different brand logos. You know, if you see a B and an R, it's kind of blue and pink, and there's a 31 in the middle of it. You know what that logo is? BR31.
No.
Baskin Robbins. 31 is whatever. You know, if you see, it's hard when you start trying to describe them. If you can look at them, it'd be easier. When we put this on the website, we'll put a link to one of those games. It's kind of fun. But, you know, when you see certain things, you just immediately think of.
Right.
You see Tony the Tiger, what do you think of?
Frosted Flakes. Absolutely.
You know, when you see a big yellow box of cereal with round things on it, what do you think
of? Cheerios.
Cheerios. Yeah. When you think of a bow tie on the front of a car, so to speak, what do you think of? Think of a Chevy.
Yeah.
Think of a round blue circle or oval. Ford. A four-letter word.
Yeah.
For some people, that is a four-letter word.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, and it's
expresses. It's an expression of what something is.
And we're four verses into John's gospel, and Jesus is called the Word, the Logo of God. I think that's kind of a neat concept.
Yeah.
If you want to know what God's like, here's the essence of God.
Right. And the Gospel of John says that many times.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus is the expression of the Father. You know, he says, if you want to see the Father, you see me.
Yeah.
You know, so it really is. He uses that word, but yet throughout the book, he backs that up. Throughout the book, and I think that's interesting as well. Now, what does Jesus have to do with creation? Colossians 1, 15 through 18, as we get ready to look at that. Richard?
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible.
And it just goes to the point we're making. There's nothing that was created that Jesus didn't create. Nothing.
I think a lot of times when we kind of picture the Trinity, we think of the Father is like the big guy upstairs who does all the stuff.
Mm.
The Son, Jesus, is the guy who came to earth and did a little bit of stuff. And the Spirit's the crazy uncle nobody really understands.
Yeah.
But what this does is it puts Jesus squarely in the same category as the Father.
Right.
He was the Creator.
Right.
You know, he's not God Jr.
Yeah.
He's Son of God, but he's not baby God.
Right.
And he is a picture. I love that language in Colossians 1 that you just read, Richard. He is the image of the invisible God.
Mm.
You know, we say we don't know what God looks like because we can't. Well, you want a picture of him?
Mm.
Well, Jesus tells us, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Because he is that picture. Right. Yeah.
He's the express image.
Yeah.
The Word.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it all fits together. And I guess God knew what he was doing, right?
I think he probably does what he said.
But, well, as we go, how much time?
Probably time for a break.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Interfaith Roundtable, the second half, right after this.
While we're away on a quick message break, could you help us out? If you're listening to this show on iTunes, take just a minute and leave us a review. It'll only take a second, and it's the best way to get word out about the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for helping. Now back to this week's episode of the Interfaith Roundtable.
All right. We are back for the second half of the Interfaith Roundtable, and we are speaking about Jesus and before he was created, or before he was created, before he, we spoke about him, that he created everything, and we're looking at before his birth. Going back to the beginning in the beginning.
Let me pick on you know, you heard us laugh there just a second because Richie said before Jesus was created. And the point of the lesson was Jesus wasn't created.
Right.
He's the creator.
Mm-hmm.
C.S. Lewis liked to say Jesus was begotten but not created.
Right.
And there's a difference. If Richard begets something, it's him. It's his son. It's the same nature as Richard. If Richard makes something, he's made something different than him. It's not him.
Mm.
You know, Richard can make a statue and beget a son.
Mm.
He can't beget a statue, in this state at least, you
know,
and you can't make a son, so
right.
to speak. That was the language C.S. Lewis used in Christianity.
Right.
So we're trying to talk about how the Son is begotten of the Father, yet always has been.
Yes.
And at first blush, those two things sound contradictory. How can he always been if he was begotten?
Yeah.
Hang on to that question. We're going to come to it, but I want us to look at a couple more scriptures first.
Absolutely. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Richard's going to read that for us.
But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you.
The key word I saw there was foreknown or foreordained. What does that mean?
To know beforehand. It's a basic.
Yeah.
Basic.
Jesus was always the plan of God.
Right.
I think sometimes our teaching makes it sort of sound like God created the earth, and then things went bad, so he came up with this plan. He's going to have a kid, and that kid would save us. But this passage says, this was God's plan before you and I were ever made.
Right.
By the way, that indicates that God knew what you and I were going to do in the garden. The garden wasn't an experiment to see what would happen. God did know. Now, again, that opens up 1,000 other questions.
Right.
Why did God make us if he knew we'd fall?
Right.
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And outside of the scope of this course.
Exactly. That's the mind of God when you get into that.
And it is.
It's beyond our finite thinking.
But I think that's it's a pretty important thing to get.
Yeah.
You know, we need to think carefully about who Jesus is. Some people say that our doctrine, our thinking, doesn't matter.
Mm.
But it does, because our thinking is what shapes our acting.
Mm.
You know, our actions, whether conscious or unconscious, come from the things that we believe and feel.
Right.
And our heads are the seat of that. So this is
right.
This is important. And if this is a little technical, I know it is a little bit technical, but it's worth digging into.
Yeah. Well, it's important because there are those out there who disagree with Christ being eternal.
Yeah.
And that's so if you're a believer, you need to understand that, why they believe that, and what does the Bible say?
Sometimes people say, well, what are you squabbling? You're squabbling about words. Well, this is something the Bible's fairly clear about, but this is a controversy that's existed in the church since, well, the 3rd century, so 200-something.
Mm.
It's been going on a long time. And by the way, you can see almost every squabble that the church has today in the first 3 centuries.
Mm.
We haven't come up with anything new. We just do it with different, you know, with different clothes on.
Right.
To be real blunt, you want to talk a little bit about Arius?
Sure. Arius lived in 3rd century,
mm-hmm.
and wrote and began to speak about, if God and Christ were equal, then Christ should be called God's brother, not God's son. And people puzzled about that.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. But what's strange about that is we know from the Greek that son, when the term son is almost a term of exact character.
Yeah.
Right? Where they're called the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
Well, that's a description, right? Sons of thunder.
This is their nature. This is their characteristic.
Right. So son of God is, in that language, in that time period, he has the same characteristics as God, right? When you say that phrase to them, so when he said he's the son of God, they didn't take it as, oh, he's a child. The Jews understood full well what they were saying, that he his character and nature was God.
And that's important for us. And plus, the language of the Trinity, it just doesn't fit in human language real well. How can three be one?
Mm.
And somebody likes to feel like they're real smart. 1 + 1 + 1, you Christians say that equals one, but anybody figure out that's what...
Right.
This isn't a math problem.
Right.
This is the nature of God.
Mm.
Arius was an interesting guy because that argument is kind of compelling sounding at first, like you said, until you explore it.
Mm.
He even kind of noticed that if the Father begets a son, he would say there was a time when the Son was not.
Mm.
If the Father him begot, or something. It rhymed in Greek. It didn't really in English. You know, again, I see how you get there, but the testimony of Scripture, the Colossians passage that Richard read for us, the 1 Peter passage.
1 John.
Genesis. All over. Genesis 1, John 1, John 8. John 8 we skipped over earlier. That's where Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am.
Mm.
He claimed he is God.
Right.
He pre-existed.
Mm.
And that's important because the nature of Jesus is not half God.
Yes.
It's not God Jr., it's not God Light, it's not mini-me.
Mm.
It's full-scale God.
Yes. And another good passage is in Isaiah, right? There's 3 or 4 passages, at least 2, maybe 3, that says, you know, I am the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in Revelations, Jesus has the exact same description.
Alpha and Omega.
You know, simple and plain. Jehovah and Jesus are the same by those passages.
You know, a little while ago, Matthew brought up the word that was in the scripture there, foreknown.
Mm.
You know, for so many, I think they look at scripture and the stories from Old Testament to New, and you may get caught up in the idea that, well, is God just winging this?
Mm.
And I think what really helps dispel that is when you realize, as I loved one preacher said when I was a kid, he said, the New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old is revealed in the New.
Mm,
I like
and
that.
When you think about that,
that
is so absolute and true.
Yeah.
So if that is true, that the New Testament was concealed in the Old revealed in the New, then you have to accept that God had a plan and was working that plan. This stuff didn't just happen because God said one day, okay, I need to rethink my strategy.
All right, this ain't working.
Let me
will.
Wing it. Yeah. I mean, we wing it throughout our lives,
right.
You know, too many times. Mm. But God had a plan from the beginning, so he understood. That's why we know from Scripture that Jesus was there from the beginning.
Mm.
And it wasn't something where God just all of a sudden, after years and years and years and decades, said, you know, I guess I need to have a son.
Mm.
And send him to the earth.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know.
It was...
And I don't say what I'm about to say to pick on people. You know, there are some modern groups that don't teach this. And I'm not saying this to say they're all horrible people and they're all going to hell or anything like that. But... You know, sometimes if you look at these groups and you wonder why they are further apart than, say, the Baptists and the Church of Christ and the Methodists, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons kind of teach something more like what Arius taught.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons there's kind of a sharper divide between those churches.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying this to beat up on them.
Mm.
I love them. They're good people. But we disagree on this. And I do think this is a very important thing.
It is. It really... comes down to if Christ wasn't God, eternal God, then why would his sacrifice mean more than anybody else's?
Yeah, because, you know, Richie, if you did something wrong and I could stand in your place, it would be a one-for-one relationship. I could stand in your place.
Right.
I could give you my house, but I can't give Richard my house and Richie my house. I can't stand in two persons' place. It takes... an infinite person to stand in an infinite number of people's place.
Mm.
It takes God to overweigh all of humanity. And that's an important... I feel like we're talking theoretical and technically, but it's important. If Jesus is not God, for one, he didn't give up anything. He was just a normal person. In fact, he may have had it better than most people because he had more access to the Holy Spirit than anyone else. If Jesus is not God, he's a fraud, for one.
Right.
And people like to say this all the time, and this has been going around forever. People like to say, Jesus wasn't God, he was a good moral teacher. No, he wasn't.
Mm.
Because in passages like John 8, where he says, before Abraham was, I am, and he takes on God's name.
Mm.
Or John 1, where his disciples clearly call it, or walking on the water when the disciples fall down and worship him, and he doesn't stop them.
Mm.
Any of these times, Jesus is claiming to be God.
Right.
So either he is God, or he's not. And if he's not, and he claims to be, if I tell you something that I know is not true, what does that make me?
A liar.
And a liar is not a good moral teacher.
Right.
If I don't know that I'm wrong, what does that make me?
Crazy.
Crazy. You didn't seem to have trouble grasping that idea with me. You know, that makes you a lunatic. And that's Lewis called it the trilemma, Lord, liar, or lunatic.
Yeah.
Don't do any of this mess where you say Jesus is just a good man or one of the teachers. He can't be.
Right. It doesn't compute because, like you said, if you're claiming, and the Jews had no problem understanding what he meant.
Yeah, they wanted to stone him as soon as he said it.
They wanted to stone him, so they understood the claims.
Yeah.
You know, we 2,000 years later can look at different teachers and different people and what they think, but Jews at that time understood fully.
Yeah,
he was claiming to be God.
Yes,
and it's one of the most, we have the fundamentals of the faith, right? That we talk about. You know, Bible is infallible and errant.
Yeah.
You know, sola scriptura, the virgin birth, and the 100% man, 100% God in one person, Jesus. It's a fundamental of the Christian. I believe it is.
Yeah, I don't agree.
If you don't have that, you have a problem.
I agree with you.
And that's why it's so important. And most people believe this, but you have to need to know why do I believe it?
Exactly. And why it matters. Jesus is God. You know, you just have to have that for Jesus to make sense.
Absolutely. Well, we could do so much on this. We're running out of time, basically.
Much.
Well, there's so much we could do, but you know what? Go to our website.
JesusRoundtable.com or Facebook.com/JesusRoundtable.
Awesome. And if you have any questions or anything, we'll be in touch. We'll keep up with you, and we would love your input on these subjects.
Hey, and next week we're going to be looking at the prophecy about Jesus throughout the Old Testament. Like Richard just said, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed, had to say it, think about it before I said it. So next week, in particular, we're going to be looking at the prophecy. So if you want to get ahead and be with us, on the website, we'll have the scriptures that you can look up and be studying a little bit. Or if you just want to search on your own, Old Testament Messianic Prophecies, if that's what you want to type into Google, you'll find some interesting stuff. So that'll help you prepare for next time.
All right. Well, we thank you for tuning in, and you have a great week, everybody. Thank you for listening to Interfaith Roundtable on WDKN and 101.5 to 1FM. We will see you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to WDKN's Jesus Roundtable. Listen live on Sundays at 4 at WDKN 1260 AM or 101.5 The One. Or download the podcast from iTunes or JesusRoundtable.com.